KKR's Cotivity EdFX deal, a masterclass in financial engineering or a risk-laden bet? The private equity playbook is evolving. With traditional M&A activity still in a measured recovery, firms rely on structured financing, innovative debt instruments, and sophisticated capital stacking to drive returns. The latest example? KKR backed Cotivity's $3 billion acquisition of EdFX, financed by an additional $2 billion in debt, bringing Cotivity's total debt burden to $7 billion. This isn't just another healthcare technology deal, it's a microcosm of how today's private markets are pushing the boundaries of leverage and financial structuring. But the key question remains, is this the right kind of leverage? The strategic rationale. To answer that, we must first examine the underlying businesses involved. Cotivity. Cotivity is a data-driven healthcare analytics firm specializing in payment integrity, risk adjustment, and quality improvement. Its primary customers are healthcare payers, insurance companies looking to optimize costs and minimize erroneous payments. KKR took a 50% stake in Cotivity last year from Veritas Capital, financing the deal with $5 billion in leveraged loans, setting the stage for an aggressive buy-and-build strategy. EdFX. EdFX focuses on healthcare interoperability and regulatory compliance. Its software helps insurers and providers streamline claims processing and adhere to evolving regulatory requirements. As value-based care and digital health infrastructure become more prominent, EdFX capabilities complement Cotivity's expertise in financial analytics and cost optimization. The strategic rationale is straightforward. By combining forces, Cotivity and EdFX could create an end-to-end platform that strengthens payer operations, improves regulatory compliance, and enhances financial efficiencies. But execution will be the determining factor. The financial engineering at play. The debt structure. The financial structure of this deal is particularly revealing. The acquisition is funded with $2 billion in new debt, layered atop $5 billion in existing financing. Cotivity's financing includes both floating-rate loans and a $750 million fixed-rate instrument, the latter having non-call periods, making it functionally similar to a bond. The structure allows Cotivity to tap into liquidity beyond traditional loan caps while sidestepping the disclosure requirements of public bonds. The bigger picture, private credit's evolution. This financing strategy does not occur in isolation. We are seeing a rise in structured loans with bond-like features, such as Getty Images' recent $1 billion debt raise, which includes a $675 million fixed-rate loan. This reflects a broader trend. Private credit is not just filling gaps left by traditional banks, it is actively reshaping capital markets. The key question, is the leverage justified? At face value, this transaction aligns with a traditional PE buy-and-build model. Expand market share. Drive revenue synergies. Enhance EBITDA through cost efficiencies. However, healthcare IT is not a traditional roll-up industry. Integration challenges surpass cost synergies. They demand true interoperability, regulatory compliance, and operational alignment. If these prove more difficult than anticipated, the high leverage could become a major constraint. The assumption underpinning this deal is that Cotivity will generate enough EBITDA growth to service the debt comfortably. But what if regulatory changes squeeze margins? What if synergies take longer to materialize than projected? The debt burden, in that case, could limit strategic flexibility and put pressure on future refinancing. Conclusion, masterstroke or warning sign? If executed correctly, KKR stands to gain significantly from this transaction, leveraging financial innovation to drive both operational expansion and strong equity returns. However, if this move leans more on financial engineering than real value creation, it risks becoming another cautionary tale of overleverage in private equity. This deal is more than just another buyout, it's a case study in the future of PE capital structuring. The question is, are we witnessing a new paradigm in structured credit innovation, or simply extending the risk cycle to its next phase?